Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, I really need to stop licking cats, those hairballs. Wow. Wow. Anyhow, it's awesome to be here with all of you and to be hanging out with such an amazing crew of people on what for me is a Friday morning. And right before we started the show, well, I guess everyone pointed out that today on the British Tech Network, it's actually the American Tech Network, because
USA, USA.
Look at us just taking over and helping the world. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
Nicely done, Ben.
He's got that on the just.
Ben, you have a background at the ready for everything.
I know.
A consummate professional.
Professional, what is the question? But
General Ben, how are you today, sir?
I am fantastic. Ready to talk some Apple if, you know, there's actually any news, except for pre-orders for Hong Kong.
Yeah, well, you know.
From Hong Kong?
We can.
That is big news.
we can find something to talk about, I'm sure.
There might be some notes you grab from.
It's a mix of notes and stuff that popped up just this morning.
Yep.
Speaking of notes, the man who so generously gives us his show notes from In Touch with iOS so that we have content to talk about here on the Mac Show, Dave Ginsberg. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. It's always a joy. I took the day off, so I got to hang out with you guys and not have to worry about work, and glad to be here.
That's awesome. And I just realized, Ben, Dave, I got to hang out with you, both of you, 2 days in a row on two different shows.
That's right.
And, well, actually three different shows.
Not three.
Because the big show.
I did three shows.
Thursday morning. In Touch
Four
with iOS Thursday evening, and now here we are on the Mac Show on Friday morning. Yeah.
Shows this week.
Yeah. I was about to say, if it wasn't for that short-lived project, you'd do that every week with me, Dave, or Jeff.
That's true. So on one hand, I'm glad you're able to be back with us all the time. From the purely selfish standpoint of just enjoying hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. The other side of it, though, is having all those extra gigs that take up your time and fill up your bank account are kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are.
Yep. Speaking of kind of nice, Chuck, how are you?
Jeff, you're the only person I know that would ever consider me kind of nice. So thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. It's the heat has broken a little bit, although it's coming back, I understand. But for right now, life is good.
That's awesome. And it's great to be here with all three of you.
Look at it this way, Chuck. For next week here, you get to sing "The Heat Is On."
You don't want me singing, Ben, because then we would lose any audience we have.
We got to get him in karaoke now for sure.
No. Kylie has tried before.
I live for Chuck singing.
No, oh, you God. Don't.
My life is not complete until you're up there with a microphone in hand. See, totally perfect for you. Forever in blue jeans, babe. I intentionally mixed up the melody a little bit so that we wouldn't get hit with a takedown notice.
I'm certainly glad of that.
We're not on YouTube.
Oh, good point. Yeah, who's going to stop us? Hey, before we hop into stories, everyone, just want to let you know that when you're watching the live stream, it does look a little bit different now, and that's because Patrice went through all the hard work to get us modernized. So we have a new system for live streaming. And it includes the live chat. So we're not using IRC anymore as of this week for the live chat for the show. So when you're watching the live stream, you'll see the video in your window, in your browser, and there'll be a column on the right-hand side that is the live chat. You will have a randomly generated name. Unless you click the purple button in the upper right-hand corner and you can just change your name there. You can also, although it's kind of flaky right now for some people, you can authenticate if you have a Mastodon account. So if you look at the chat while it's live, you'll see by some people's names, there's like a little check mark. Those are the people who have authenticated with their Mastodon account. And once you've done it, it just sticks, so you don't have to re-authenticate each time. And the transcript for the live chat, that's still a thing. So really what's changing is that on the back end, we have a much more efficient system. And for you don't need to worry about launching a separate app just to be able to participate in the live chat. So there you go. All right. It is now time to talk about some news. And here's the irony. It's basically the American Tech Network today because everyone that's here on the show is in the continental United States. And yet, our first story is actually something that pertains to people outside of the US. Yes, I know. So Apple is getting some smack talk from the EU because Apple has said, hey, when we roll out our new operating systems this fall, Apple Intelligence is not going to be available in the EU because of the DMA. And now that EU is saying, whoa, 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 that is horrible anti-competitive behavior. And yeah.
Well, there's one thing that everybody's kind of missing on this. At rollouts, Apple Intelligence is excluding everybody else, including Canada, because it's rolling out as American English only.
Okay, so there's that.
But you know what? The EU doesn't seem to like anything Apple does. It's, if you're doing something, we don't like it, and we're going to slap you with a fine because it's a violation. Now they're coming out and saying, well, if you're not going to do this, it's a violation. I mean, come on. At some point, the EU is, I think they're getting a little bit self-important, and I'm not convinced that, this is the way this should go, that they should be, that organization should be driving things quite the way it is. I also have to say that I think that now they've tagged Microsoft, now they've tagged Apple, and they're trying to put fines on for percentages of global revenue. It's like, really, so you're entitled to, a piece of the action that Apple makes from North America, South America, and Asia. I struggle with this a little bit because I understand the idea that fines are supposed to be potentially punitive, but on the other hand, there's a point where you're overstretching, and I think this is going to it's hurting the EU's credibility, in my opinion, because they are asking for too much monetarily. If they want to pronounce that Apple is anti-competitive or that they don't like a particular feature set and penalize them for it within the boundaries of their country or countries, that's fine. But to reach out and say, yes, you've wronged us, and so we're entitled to, you know, a piece of the action from everywhere. No, too much, way too much. And by the way, that and mark this down, because this doesn't often come out of my mouth. That goes for Microsoft or Facebook or Meta or anybody else, you know, not just Apple. They seem to be picking on Apple right at the moment, or maybe we're just paying more attention to it. But they also tagged Meta with the question over anti-competitive by bundling teams. Mm-hmm. Whether I agree with that or not, I do not agree with the potentially imposed fines.
It's part of the problem I'm seeing here is that that we're getting experts saying, well, the wording on the DMA is vague, but then other experts saying, no, the wording is very clear cut. And to me, that says there's actually some sort of confusion about what's going on here, because you have experts on both ends of the spectrum for this, and Apple is either playing it safe and saying that they feel that these features, which so it's the Apple Intelligence features, iPhone mirroring and SharePlay, that they're going to run afoul of the DMA. So they're just going to play it safe and not roll those features out there. The other side of it is Apple may be weaponizing the DMA to make a stand and make a statement. And the European Commission is very unhappy with Apple saying this, and is saying that by withholding these features, Apple is now being anti-competitive. Now, the irony there is, for me, by not offering those features, Apple is not competing because they are not offering features that could potentially lure people away from other products.
I mean, honestly, throughout this whole rollout of the DMA, I've seen a lot of pettiness and childishness from both parties here. Instead of trying to work in good faith, it's just trying to one up, like, no, you can do this. No. Yeah, I won't do this. It's for egos and not for users.
I'm not sure I completely agree with that, Ben. I feel like some of this has been weaponized by the EU. They're the ones that have, and to go to my earlier point again, you know, they've talked about fines that are just totally unreasonable, totally unrealistic. So, and look, yes, we're on an Apple oriented show. So that's probably goes without saying that would be my position. Again, I say the same thing about Microsoft and anybody else that this regulation gets aimed at. You know, to reach out and do it that way, now you've clearly weaponized things. And so you should be expecting a bit of pushback. Apple's pushing back in a very unpushy way, I think. They're just saying, you know, we're not going to do something until maybe you clarify things for us, because we're afraid of getting yet another potential huge fine.
Yeah, I have to wonder if kind of upping the brinksmanship here has to do with Apple's initial response to the DMA, where they said, okay, since we don't want to do this, we're going to put a bunch of disclaimers all over everything and try to wiggle our way out of this.
Did they try to wiggle, Ben, or did they just do what Apple does and what, you know, any good firm will do? Did they comply with the letter, and maybe not the spirit, but at least the letter, And the EU says, no, that's not enough.
I think they could have done that without saying about how bad everything is every 3 seconds. I think that ended up getting on the EU's bad side even more.
All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Ben, and then I'll ask my question.
I think we're to the point where everybody is just so cross with everybody else that everybody just needs to take a step back, look at this logically, and go like, okay, how can we do this in a way that everybody is happy, or at least everybody is as displeased as they can be, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
but is that the corporate? That doesn't seem to even be the state of the world right now. Everybody's posturing.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's posturing, but when you're posturing, could end up costing you more than it would have by just coming to a compromise. Does that really help the users or shareholders?
Or does it, you know me, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But, you know, or does that embolden the bully to be even more of a bully? And Jeff, you said you had a question. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
Oh, no, it's fine. All right, here's my question. Excuse me. Is it possible that we have a perspective that isn't completely accurate on this because we are in the United States and have dealt with the way the U.S. government handles big corporations and consumer rights and consumer protections? It's different here than it is in the EU. So
this is true.
Yeah. So are we misinterpreting what's going on here simply because of the experience that we have here?
It's possible.
I don't know.
I think it's very possible. I think it's a great point, you know, because this is the American Tech Network.
Yes. I mean, if only we had an EU person here, Patrice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we need a clone of Patrice.
Yes. Yes. Reese Pat, who will show up when Patrice is not here.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. All right, I'm going to move us on. This one, I think, will probably just be a quickie little thing. And
sure, it will.
Sure.
I know, I say that, but yeah, who knows? All right. So the Apple Store went down this morning in the UK, Canada, Germany, France, Australia, and... is that it, or was it also Hong Kong, China? Anyhow,
they're live today.
Yeah, so
it's live now.
Yeah, so yeah, stores are back up, and Vision Pro is available in a bunch of countries outside the United States.
Five countries.
Let's see. Okay. Oh,
Australia, Canada, France, Germany, and UK. Now I wonder if Patrice is going to sneak over to Germany and go get one.
I can answer that one for you because Patrice and I have already had the discussion.
Oh, you did? Okay.
She pre-ordered hers.
Awesome. I knew it.
So, yeah, yes. She's going to make the run over to Germany and pick up her headset.
Yep. Take a little trip home.
Yep. All right. So my commentary on this is, will we see analysts change their tune about the success, and I have to do air quotes for that, success a Vision Pro now that it is more easily available in more countries. And keep in mind, we can't gauge if Vision Pro is a success yet because it hasn't been on the market long enough. And it sells better than Akin did. So, you know, if the product is pulled within a few days of it going on the market, never to be seen again, you know it was a failure. In this case, we have to wait and see.
Here's the thing about it. Vision Pro is, I mean, there's a reason they started with the most high-end product. This is more of a developmental platform that will someday be a product than it is something that is for the mainstream audience.
Well, this, also, Apple always starts at the high end and works down.
Right.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, because, I mean, iPhone was bottom up, even though it was kind of expensive for phones in those days. Kind of. But
I didn't buy the first iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, same with the Apple Watch. But I think Apple wants this to be a mature platform before releasing a more budget-friendly version. I think they want to know directly from certain user and developer groups what they want from the platform. And I think that just widens that scope, because especially now with more people in the two primary languages for Apple Vision Pro, English and Chinese, you have a lot more users who can say, this is what I want from that experience.
Jeff, to answer your question, I think some of that is going to depend on how well it sells in those countries.
Yeah.
I mean, the market has definitely opened up. I think it, you know, once we start seeing sales figures, it may be declared, you know, continue to be declared a failure, or it may, maybe that may be message may be softened a bit, but I think it's way too early to just say, just because it's opened up in other countries, that it is this or that.
Yeah. I mean, Vision OS is not yet a direct competitor to Horizon OS, formerly known as the Meta Quest. But it just best to take things in perspective for not a mainstream product.
Yep, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you firsthand. I mean, you guys all know me. I'm early adopter, buying all new stuff. And yeah, I know the technology is just so new, and to justify $3,500 in the US to buy one of these, just isn't in my budget right now. I just can't do it. I mean, I would love to do it. And I buy Macs, I buy iPhones, I buy iPads, I buy everything here. That's just the only thing I am on the fence to do. And I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm also just in the chat here, I'm going to put a link to an article that Jason Snell just released on 6 colors. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, Apple is focusing on what it does. Well, there are some things that a Vision Pro can't do that a Meta Quest does well. So I think, I mean, it's not a complete platform yet.
Yeah, and hear that from Jason Snell. I mean, that's, you know, that's a quite a validation, because obviously he's a big Apple guy, obviously.
Oh yeah,
and has been covering it for many, many years, and to hear it from him just reemphasizes what my thought is on it, and that, you know, it's not mature enough yet to be worth getting invested in. I got to do the demo in the store, and it was great. I think it's got some great potential, but I think we need to wait. And, you know, all the rumors and discussing potentially Apple looking at a lower priced model, you know, I probably would dabble into that depending on what it's all about. But it's still rumor, so I won't depend on that. But
I mean,
it's a platform for the future, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a reason why they called it the Vision Pro and not the Vision.
But let's try to put this in perspective. Okay, it was announced on, and I've, I had to look it up, June 5th, 2023, WWDC of last year. Now it would became available on February 2nd, 2024.
Almost a year.
So, well, almost a year, but the point being, though, it's only been really available to put into everyone's hands. There were some tools out there before and some simulators, but to actually put it into developers' hands, it hasn't been there. It's only been there since the beginning of February.
So 4 months.
And already we're, we've seen some amazing applications come out. 4 months. When did the first amazing applications come out for the iPhone? When did the first amazing applications come out? Heck, for the Apple II. I mean, and then you just do the iterations on up, each one. So every, I think it's, it again, it's a symptom of the way the world has gone, that everybody's ready to pass judgment on everything, 2 seconds after it arrives, as opposed to giving a chance to develop a little bit. Jeff, what did you say? What, the kin was pulled how quickly?
It was,
30 seconds.
yeah, it was like
Yeah.
a, within a few days of being launched. The I think the kin was on the market less than a week.
Yeah,
Yeah, not,
I
now
remember
that's a
that.
failure.
That's a
That's a
failure.
failure.
Yeah,
The
that I mean,
fire,
yes, that's a
the
failure.
Fire Phone
The
was a
Fire Phone was
failure.
horrible too.
That,
Yeah.
yeah, oh my God,
that's
yes.
a failure. That went away. So, this idea, and again, I'm not picking on any particular company's products, but Apple, first of all, has a tendency to, hang in there a bit longer. They've pulled products before, and they'll pull products again.
Yeah.
But this is one that deserves, because it is so new, it deserves to, I think, to get a little bit of leeway. I mean, when you
Yeah.
listen, I don't know about you guys, but when you start hearing surgeons are using it for surgeries,
Oh.
that tells me that
Yeah.
there's some meat here.
Mm
It may, now I'm not going to be performing surgery anytime
hmm. No.
soon, at least not that I know of. But that, for someone to take that into an operating room, and forgive me if my day job background shows through, but with all the med malpractice issues out there and everything, to take something experimental into an operating room, you better believe it's offering some kind of serious benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
And just as a good case in point is the iPhone. Go back to the iPhone, the first gen iPhone. Remember that how that phone was. It was so stripped down. It hardly had you couldn't even do copy and paste. That took what how
Yeah.
long did it take before they got that onto the iPhone? I mean,
Yeah, it
this was
was
a big
four.
problem.
Yeah, it was four things in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Apple had another vision for the iPhone. Well, people learned how to jailbreak it. They had a vision for a general computing device, and Apple got smart. And by that time, we had iPhone OS 2. Well,
There wasn't even an app store right off the bat. I mean,
yeah.
so it was just so they learned from that too. I mean, go back to when that was. It was exciting when Steve Jobs went on that stage and showed us a bit, and we know the whole story.
Yeah.
But so it's a good comparison to see, but you compare it to a product like the Newton. The Newton had its niche people, and I remember being at MacStock, and we did that. They showed that movie. And seeing all the people who just love the Newton, but it was just very like kind of a cult following now. It was great for its time, but I don't think it was ready for prime time just yet. So,
No.
the products they've made have some they've had big flops and they've had big wins. And iPhone was obviously their big win.
Yeah, and we're years away, years, maybe even a decade
Correct.
away from knowing if Vision OS is going to be Apple's next big product, or it's going to be a flop. But literally 4 months in, we know nothing, and quite frankly, if it wasn't a brand new product, a brand new platform that was so much different than everything else, I don't think Apple would have released it at this stage.
I agree.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
Dave, I want to just mention you the Newton is a great example. You know, you said not ready for prime time, but if we had not had the Newton, we would not have the devices we have now.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was a stepping stone.
It was a stepping stone, and this is going to be a stepping stone. It may be a
Absolutely.
larger stepping stone because the technology and the computing power is now so much more that it becomes viable. But I again, you know, we tend to look at things in isolation as opposed to look at them on a timeline. And without the Newton, we wouldn't have the I. I'm not sure about the iPhone, but I don't think so. We wouldn't have, definitely wouldn't have the iPad.
Yep.
I mean, cost too. I mean, the first gen iPhone was very expensive for its time. It was exclusive to just AT&T, so you only had one carrier, and there's lots of carriers still out were out there at that time too. The Newton wasn't exactly cheap. It was you had to invest some money into it as well. At during that time, you know, costs were a lot. Comparison costs to today's costs, yeah, it's probably not. I didn't know. I can't quote me on the comparison to this Vision Pro, but I can't imagine it's not too far off of what Apple's charging for the Vision Pro now.
Yeah, and I mean, just look at what we now know as the Mac, OS 10 branch of Mac OS. When they came in, they scrapped Copeland, which was supposed to be Mac OS 8. They went with a completely new operating system. It was not a smooth transition. In fact, I had to dual boot Mac OS Classic and Mac OS 10 to even have a functioning computer. But Apple just kept at it, got it to where it needed to be. And I mean, honestly, those early days, unless you were there, you don't even remember they happened.
Oh, I remember. But I was there. You're right.
Sadly, I didn't get that. I didn't delve into the Mac world until, you know, the early 2000s. But yeah, I mean, I always hear the stories, but you guys, with especially iOS, not iOS, Mac OS 9, and all the struggles with that OS, and then when Mac OS 10 came out, and that
Oh, yes.
it was a big.
I remember because the Kodiak beta desk is right over there.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. I want to talk about
No.
the developer beta 2 of iOS 18, and specifically because Dave, both you and Ben have been playing with one of the features that you both really, really like. And I want to live vicariously through both of you. So tell me about the whole thing about controlling your iPhone from your Mac.
This is going to be one thing. Do not do it right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm very
Dave had
comfortable
to.
on my beta devices here. I'll tell you
Yes. Yeah.
that.
Dave. Yeah. Dave had to basically reboot, or not reboot, but
Erase and
reinstall. Yeah,
I
two
erased
different
it.
devices. I have it. The space bar doesn't work when I'm typing on my Mac's keyboard.
But does work on
So
a PC keyboard.
yes. So it is definitely in beta, but the fact that I have my iPhone on the other side of the room charging while I am sitting here using it in its apps, which iPad apps work a hell of a lot better on the Mac than iPhone apps do. It's this is a change to how we're going to use Apple platforms in the future. It's just so much more convenient to literally using my iPhone on my Mac. And that doesn't even include things like the notifications, which getting my all my iPhone the notification system on the Mac sucks. So getting all my iPhone notifications on my Mac, that is fantastic. all those apps, like most of the social media
Social.
apps, just being able to access the iPhone version or the instance on my iPhone on my Mac here, that makes things a hell of a lot easier. So since I don't have to have a bunch of windows open, and I can delete a bunch of sub-optimized apps on my Mac. I'm looking at the future here, and I like it.
I mean, one of me and done, none of us have done presentations before with iPhone and wanted to be able to show it. The nice thing about it is you can now, I really love the fact that you actually don't have to use the iPhone to navigate. So if you had to show something, so I'm hoping to see some improvements on positioning of the screen. All it really is you just go up into the I believe you have to go into the view or the windows and you can move it move them, resize them. But it's still got some work to do because it's pretty limited what you can do left, right, top, center. But I want to be able to, if you can potentially go landscape and portrait mode, sometimes you want to show that, those kind of things. I'm thinking on more of a demonstration standpoint, but I don't think you can make phone calls. I tried. I just finally got this done early this morning. How funny, it's ironic. We got it ready for the show here today, I tried making a phone call. I don't think you can, because what happens is if you have to use any of the functionality of the phone itself, it disconnects and says that the phone's busy, that you have
Yeah,
to.
which I think is probably a beta bug,
It could be,
but
yeah, because it was a bug at first that I couldn't even connect to it, and having to erase both devices just to get it to connect again. So,
well, it
I
is
mean, that's
developer
fine. That's why
beta.
beta. That's why you have beta devices to do these things. And I have a bit of the luxury of that. I don't keep new devices. I have a first that was the M1 Mac Mini and a iPhone 13. So they're older devices, but at least they still work, and you can still have some of the experience. I mean, I'm not that rich. I'm not buying brand new equipment just to do beta testing, unless it was my job and had to do that. But it's fun to play with these kind of things. This, of all the times I've been doing beta testing, I think this is just really has st stood out to something that Apple's really done a great thing about. I think it'd be kind of cool if that, like they do in the sharing apps, like a bezel and reflector, where you can actually put the frame of the iPhone on there and stuff. So it look kind of cool, like it's the actual iPhone, not just the screen itself. But who knows? They might do it. So it is cool.
Awesome. I am looking forward to the future, and I got over the whole thing I've heard some people saying, which is just pick up your iPhone. And sure, that makes sense on some level, but if you're trying to have like a unified experience for working with all of your apps and all of your devices, this is really cool. And the whole idea of being able to have a single place to see all of your notifications, which, if you're at your desk, why should I have to as deal with what Ben has pointed out is a crappy experience? I have to look at multiple devices to see different notifications. Why can't I just look at them all in one place, which you can do with the iPhone screen sharing feature?
I'm curious about something for, I guess, for Ben and Dave and Jeff. See if you agree with me conceptually on this. But if you, and look at the first world issue here, but if you have more than one Mac, you can log in to that other Mac over the network. You can screen share with that Mac. That means you can control that Mac. So over on Mac B, I can be running something that is really, let's just say, CPU intensive or whatever, and not be affecting my main machine, and yet monitoring it, watching it, launching apps over there that maybe for whatever reason I don't want to launch on this Mac. I feel like that's the kind of experience that this is going to bring with the iPhone. And so if you have ever had that experience, you know that there are definite advantages. And Apple has made it so simple to do some of this, and that has become so powerful. You used to have third-party apps to do it successfully. Now you can just do it as part of the OS. And I do that regularly with a very old MacBook Air. You know, that there's something that I want to be doing, but I really don't want to occupy my current
No.
machine. And so, you know, I stick a little window up in my corner of that machine, and there you go. So is that, I mean, is that the kind of experience you guys are having right now with that?
Yeah, I mean, I got a little newer devices that kind of helps. I mean, if you have the older MacBook Air, there's Oz,
Thank you,
that
Ozzy.
does make it doesn't make a difference to have those devices. Yeah, if you have one of the older MacBook Airs, you might have some challenges depending, of course, if even the beta is available for it. So, but that's a nice
Yeah, but
thing.
I'm
You can
talking.
have these 3 and 4 year old devices, and Apple is very generous of allowing these devices to still be compatible to current OSs. So.
Yeah, I'm just talking conceptually, Dave. The idea that you're controlling a second machine or a separate device, whichever way you look at it, from your main machine. That's the comparison I'm trying to draw, and I'm assuming that that's an accurate comparison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Okay.
Even Oz agrees. Even Oz agrees.
Yeah. You know what else Oz agrees about? TSO
TSO
Host.
host. TSO
Oz
host,
thinks
yes.
TSO Host is the best. It's I think Oz's description is TSO Host is perfect.
Yes, he's about to type it on the keyboard.
His puns have been just unreal today.
Yeah, I probably need professional help.
You do.
But
We knew that.
everyone already knew that. I'm just stating the obvious. Okay, but the point is, TSO Host is awesome, and they're awesome because they're taking the things that they do so well, which is web hosting, helping people buy domain names, offering great customer support, offering great pricing, and they're taking all of that. And they are giving that to us at the British Tech Network so that we can do all of this, so that we can live stream shows to you every single week. The bandwidth for that is kind of crazy. And they're just giving it to us. And a place for the website to live. Yep, they're giving us the web hosting for that. They're also giving us the storage space we need, so that there's a place for all of the show recordings to live, so that you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. And they're just doing that because they want to give back to the community, and it's really great. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without their help. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And please just go out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting us. It doesn't take any time at all. It's easy to do, and it's a great way to let TSO Host know that we appreciate everything that they're doing for us and their generosity. Speaking of generosity, if you decide you need to buy domain names, TSO Host has a special deal just for all of us. Go find your domain name, get it in your cart. We know that they already offer good pricing, but they make it even better for you. Add the discount code BTN20 at checkout, and you're going to get 20% off your order. So it's a great way to take what's already really good pricing and make it even better. So please take advantage of that discount code. And thanks again, TSO Host. Okay, so we have to talk about the live chat. And historically, I have leaned on Patrice to make that happen because she is so much better at this than I am. But it's all new, so we get to stumble through it together. Here's the deal. Like I said at the beginning of the show, when you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com to watch the live stream, the chat just shows up in the same window. And you can click the purple button in the upper right-hand corner, and you can change your name. If you have a Mastodon account, you can authenticate, and then you'll get like what you're seeing beside my name and Ben's name in the chat right now. You get a little check mark to show that that you are you've been authenticated with your own Mastodon account. And then you just participate in the chat. This is where you're going to find all of the links to the articles we discuss, the links for the cool things that are just about to happen, and the discussion that we have with all of you in real time. And it's pretty slick because now you don't have to go to a separate location just to participate in the chat. And the new system, thank you, Patrice, for putting all of this together. The new system is more reliable than the old one. We have modernized. Okay, let's say, though, that you aren't able to join in live, but you still want to see all of those links in the discussion. You can still do that. That works just like it always has. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and you'll see a cool-looking calendar. Click on the day for the show. So for today, that is June 28th, 2024. And from there, you'll be able to see the transcript for today's discussion. And yeah, I just love that all of this works. It's, did I forget anything? Did I get all of it for the chat?
You got it.
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, and I should also point out, this is all updated real time.
Yes, unlike the way it worked before, where it would update afterwards, I believe. Yep. But anyhow, it's all like in real time. So you can watch the transcript as it gets recorded, which
yes.
is pretty cool.
So literally everything I just put in, including the thing I just put in for the next section, you can go there right now and get those links.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of... Oh, go ahead, Ben.
I was about to make a Spaceballs instant video reference. So when is then going to be now?
Ben, this is why I love you. You get the right references. Well done. All right, and your reward for that, Ben, is to tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. My cool thing is going to be the thing that it might be one of the most important devices I now own. It is my wallet. But it isn't just a wallet. It is a phone grip. You can just put your little finger in there. It is a phone stand that has a ridiculously strong magnet on it, which is why I use ESR products for my iPhones. So this thing, you can pretty much go from here to here. It's got a really nice hinge on it. You can use it in both portrait and landscape. But you might notice this little part here where you charge it. Well, what does that thing do? Well, let me show you here in just a second. I'm hoping this doesn't filter that out.
It depends on if you're wearing pants or not, if it's going to get filtered out.
Can you guys hear that?
Nope.
Okay.
Sing it for us.
So, this particular ESR wallet has Find My support.
Ah, nice.
Yes. In other words, it basically has an integrated AirTag.
Very nice.
So, not only will this be... I lose it, which... the way this secures to the phone is unlikely. But if it is, I lose it or it's stolen. Yeah, I can find it via, you know, Find My and then just play a sound.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's not cheap at $42, though there is a current 15% coupon. Mm-hmm. It's normally $46, but when it comes to making good products, I put my full faith in ESR. This is a fantastic product, and I think it's also at about the cheapest price they can put it at.
Very cool. Dave, you are muted.
Yeah, I guess I am. If you put the if you get the black one, it's $33, then you get the 50% off that.
Yep. Yeah, they also have other things, like they have the black for $33, they have carbon fiber for $41.
Yeah.
Brown and gray.
How many cards can you put in it?
They say 3.
So basically your ID, a credit card, and
I have more than 3.
Okay.
Hmm. Very cool.
So, yep. So can also, so if someone were to get it, it could be a find your truck device.
Truck, I'll draw you a picture where the tag goes.
Yes. we will be getting it for Cindy Squad.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's just what I don't have enough trouble.
Awesome. All right. Dave, looks like you have the next cool thing.
I do. This is the Envoy. I can find my page here. I just had it. I have it pictured here. This is the Envoy Pro. It's this. Look how tiny this thing is. This is 1 terabyte, and it is amazing. It's super fast, 10 megabit per second. It comes in 1 and 2 megabyte sizes. Right now they got a deal, which I'm kind of bummed because I paid full price. If you add it to the cart, it's about $20 or $30 off of this. But this thing is just extraordinary. It's just an amazing little device. I can't recommend it enough. I mean, I've got their other one with the thumb drive here too. So you got both here going here. But it is just an amazing little device. And just the speeds alone are just, I don't know, 1,000 megabits per second. Yeah, so you get $30 off if you get the 1 terabyte version, and you get $62 off if you get the 2 terabyte version. Very portable. These SSDs, the NVMe's are just so tiny now these days that who wouldn't be wanting to carry around something this tiny like this and so small, and USB-C.
That is so tiny.
I mean, yeah, I'll bring it closer. I mean, look how small that thing is.
Yeah. I mean, if
tiny,
and it's permanently sealed, they don't allow you to modify this. So this is a set devices. I mean, you probably could. I'm sure I didn't try it. You probably can remove the feet and maybe that does pry open. But why would you want to do that for something like this? Good little deal. You can't go wrong. They just make some amazing products, I tell you. I've been spending way too much money on them lately.
Yeah. Since I now have the 15 Pro Max, its cousin, the Envoy Pro Mini, is definitely on my radar, and the one that you're holding might end up replacing my Samsung drive.
Yep. It does.
I hate you, Dave.
I've been watching your face.
Plus, he's got the deal. I got him to buy it for sure. I knew
where this was going.
Yeah,
he's pulling that trigger.
I'm looking at it right now and thinking, oh.
Another drive.
Let me get my smart wallet here.
Are you going to correction card for us?
So check
it out. You want it.
Yeah. All right, Chuck. Now that Dave has spent your money, how are you going to spend his money?
Now, I'm going to try to save everybody some money, is what I'm going to try to do. Saving through spending. This came up in the I know what a concept, right? This came up in the Mac Voices Discord this week, and honestly, it's something that I forgot I had because it just works. I just don't have to do anything with it. If you are renting your cable modem from your cable company, stop right now. You are wasting money.
Yes, indeed.
Because you have the right and the ability to own it, own your own. And one of the things that finally broke my back in my case, Xfinity, was that something went wrong and they wanted to insist that no, I should just use their wireless network built into their cable modem as opposed to having an Eero. So I said, fine. I took it back, gave it back to them, and I bought a Netgear Nighthawk multi-gig cable modem, the CM2000. This particular model, the link I put in the show notes, is for Xfinity, Spectrum, and Cox, but it basically self-configured. All I had to do was call Comcast and say, this is what I've done, and excuse me, Xfinity. And they said, okay, we recognize it, and you're done. And I literally have not called them. I don't think I've done anything else other than just restart this router once or twice, just as a matter of good habit. Other than that, it is bulletproof. This is not one of those, excuse me, I keep saying router. It's a cable modem. So it requires no maintenance. There's no control panel. There's no nothing. You just plug it in and it just works. And it paid for itself in probably 6, 7 months. And now I've been running this for about 2 years. And so I've saved a crazy amount of money when I look back. I know it feels tough to make that first couple $100 spend, but just do it,
Worth
and
it.
it will save you money in the long run. And I brought this up not just because it was mentioned in the Discord this week, but also because right now Amazon has it for 26% off. So it's now $222.66. You're not going to beat that. So if you are renting your cable modem, take a good hard look and make sure that you're buying the right one that is compatible with your cable company. All that said, though, this is a great, great choice. I can highly recommend it because it's been bulletproof.
I think you and I had a conversation when I still had cable internet, and I bought that same modem and made the recommendation to you. So
Yeah.
we kind of helped each other here. I know we're helping everybody else here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's two of us that are running it and with
Well,
no
not anymore.
issues.
I got fiber now,
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
but I
Fiber.
did give that modem to my brother-in-law because he needed a drastic update, so I was generous and gave it to him. So he's enjoying the having a not to pay for those darn equipment charges on Xfinity.
Not just that, Dave, but you're right. I'd kind of forgotten about our conversation, but I was hesitant to go this direction because I felt like, I didn't want to deal with any cable modem hassles. And, it just the benefit to having the Xfinity modem, having theirs, was if it breaks, I'll just, call them and say, give me a new one or fix it. And so if you buy your own, then you don't have that option.
Don't have that
But
warranty.
on the other hand, there's just been nothing. Now, I hope it doesn't blow up tonight, but
Cross
if it
fingers.
does, I'll just go and buy another one and
Yeah.
be brain dead happy with it.
That you can't go get wrong with Netgear, and I be honest, I think if Xfinity's equipment is garbage, it really
It
is.
is. Yeah, well, there's that.
And
Back when
they
I.
never update it too. So you could sit 2, 3 years and oh yeah, we just updated that. We'll give you a new one. I'm not bothering to tell you.
Yeah, back when I had Xfinity, Chuck, I was in the same boat as you where they told me that the cable modem wouldn't work with reliably with any other Wi-Fi access points. And I ended up with a tier two tech support, and the Comcast guy said, write this model number down. Here's the thing to go buy. And it wasn't this model because it was a long time ago. But it was the same thing. It's like, here's the box. It's a cable modem, and it is not a router. It's just a cable modem.
That's how it
Plugged it
should be.
in, and it worked perfectly for years. And the only reason I replaced it was because I got bumped up to like 1.5 gig speeds. And so I needed to have or I guess it was just 1 gig speeds, doesn't matter. But I needed a newer cable modem that could support the higher speeds. So I just went and bought a newer one, and in both cases it had paid for itself over the course of a few months.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then for years I wasn't paying for a modem. At no point did I ever have any kind of failure at all. And they just ran. I never thought about them. They just worked. And now
On it.
with fiber, like Dave, I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I have AT&T's modem, but they don't charge me for it. And they have their built-in router modem combo, disabled it. I don't need it because it's just a modem. Because I'm using Eero now, so.
Yep. And here where I am, municipal broadband, the little modem is included, and it is just the modem. You have to provide your own router.
Which you should. I mean, I would rather have my own router.
Same. Yep. All right. Awesome pick. Which brings us to my pick, which has the potential to cost any of us or all of us money. We're going back to OWC.
Uh-oh.
OWC
OWC
is doing their
Legos?
annual garage
Oh, the
sale.
garage sale. I haven't gone in there yet.
Oh no.
I
I
love that.
know.
I buy way too much stuff in here. Oh no, look at this 1 terabyte
Excuse me.
SSD for $49.
Right. There are some amazing deals in here.
Oh
And
God, you didn't, Jeff.
yeah. I know. It's You can blame me. This is my fault.
Well,
Yeah.
did you buy
Yeah.
anything is
Start
the question.
caressing that card, Ben. One of the, yeah. Oh, I was going to say, if you need a fourth gen Apple TV, just so you
Yeah, it's
have a
sold
good
out. Yeah.
HomeKit bridge, $38, but they're sold out now. Anyhow, there's so many good deals in here. And whatever it is that you're thinking, oh, I don't really need it that bad.
Yes, you do.
But
Yeah,
then you
you
go
do.
and look at the sale prices right now.
Oh, I try not to look through this every time I get that email. I end up
Yeah.
buying something.
Okay, so it's my fault because I
No,
did
I.
open that email.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'll resist.
You
Can
say
I
that
throw it?
today.
Can I throw in a recommendation?
No.
Based on this, take a good hard look at something like the 0 terabyte Gemini Thunderbolt USB-C dock and dual bay RAID external enclosure. If because you can set these up so that it's only one drive that gets used and the other one gets completely mirrored. So in a sense, you have an automatic backup right there. Now, I get it. It's in the same box. And so that's not an ideal situation, but it gives you a redundancy that you don't have right now with your single drive system, whatever that single drive system is. So I've got one of these, and that's the way I have it set up. So that if one drive or the other goes bad, the odds are pretty good that they're not both going to go bad. Now, again, to be fair, a lightning strike would potentially take it out or a power surge or something, but those are few and far between, at least where I live. So, and this is, I mean, my God, that's a great deal for
234.
a quality enclosure. You
Is
know,
it a?
that,
It can be a NAS too, as it looks like you can put it on the network.
yeah. So, you know, this, that's just phenomenal.
That's a
That's
good
just
price.
phenomenal. Yeah. Now you will, of course, you will have to populate it with drives, but man, some of the drives are super cheap. And then I made the mistake of scrolling farther down, and there was an 18 terabyte Seagate for $244.75.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Check it out. That's good. That was, no, this
You're
was a good thing.
welcome.
I'm resisting.
For now.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah,
You
it
will
is.
be assimilated.
Yeah. All right. So with that, it's now time to wrap up so that we can all go through the OWC garage sale and spend
Yes.
money. Yeah. Hey, thank you to all three of you for being here this morning today and just making this just a wonderful kickoff to my Friday. All of you rock. Hey Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at Ben Rethig on your social media of choice. You can go to my website, and I do have brand new content up there. That is RethigTech.com. On Tuesdays, you can go to this little show and find me called Mac Voices Live. I don't know. The guy that runs it's like a real
Hooligan,
Yes,
scoundrel,
exactly.
scoundrel. That's good.
Scruffy nerf herder.
Yes.
Shady, shady.
Yep. Yes. Then you can also find me on this other shady show called In Touch with iOS, run by this guy out of Chicago. I mean, he's got to be a gangster. Then, speaking of gangsters, every Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows. No, this is not sponsored by Mickey D's.
No,
Call
I can't
us.
imagine why.
Call us.
Right.
Good fit in there.
So, Mr. Gangsta, Dave, where can people find you?
Oh my gosh. Oh, Jeff. You could find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. I just got confirmation that Patrice is going to be on the show next, that we're going to record on Saturday because of the 4th of July holiday in the US. Well, actually, it's a holiday in the UK. They're having their big elections on July 4th. So she's going to be on with us. So it's going to be exciting. She hasn't been on in a while. So YouTube
Awesome.
channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on the Mac show here on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live on with Chuck Joyner and all of our friends on Tuesday nights. And Mastodon, you can find me at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. And Chuck, Big Daddy Chuck, where can people find you?
Find me outside waiting for the OWC truck to back up to my garage and just dump everything in. No, you can find me at Mac Voices and on Mac Voices at macvoices.com. We have wrapped up the OWC. Now I've got OWC on the brain. You can we've wrapped up the NAB interviews, but we are definitely still doing the Road to Mac Stock shows. We want to see you at Mac Stock Conference and Expo. So visit macstockconferenceandexpo.com and join us because Ben's not going to be here, but Dave will be there, Jeff will be there, a lot of our friends. And and the reason I bring that up is because if you want to know who the speakers are going to be and what they're going to be talking about, that's what the Road to Mac Stock series is. So check it out. That way you're walking in even more fully informed than if you just show up. And on all the socials, except for a little problem right now with Mastodon, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. I am looking forward to seeing both of you at Max Stock. Ben,
Us
I'm
too.
bummed you can't be there. But now I have something to look forward to next year, right?
Yes. I mean, plus look at it this way. Since you guys will be going to the Chicagoland area, I mean, you can just go knock on Larry's office and tell him to, hand over all the stuff.
Right.
Oh yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
It's
They'll say,
like,
get the heck out of
here,
here.
Larry, here's a credit card.
Yeah, we'll go in. We'll tell Larry. Ben says whatever we want, he's covering it. Just call him for
His
the
credit
card
card,
number.
because he always keep pulls it out.
Yeah.
Larry will be totally cool with that. I have no doubt.
If we could do just a high resolution screenshot, we could probably get Ben's credit card number because he pulls it out enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, here's the thing on that. With the current generation cards, they put the number on the back.
That is true.
We have
Well,
X-ray
you need
technology,
a,
Ben.
yeah. Yep. All right, so I believe it is now my turn.
Is.
Okay. J Gamut on social media, Mastodon, Instagram, and Threads. That's where I'm posting mostly now, but it's the same handle pretty much everywhere. Then for shows, Chuck, you still let me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And Dave, you still let me join in on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Both of you are saints and incredibly patient. Then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show. Then Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and Patrice and I, we miss you this week, Patrice, since you weren't able to be here. But Patrice and I, we do Retro Rewatch, and that's the show where we watch shows that Patrice has seen, but I have not, but I should have. And then we talk about the episodes. And right now we're doing Stargate SG-1, and it's a lot of fun. All right. So with that, it is really time to wrap up because we're out of time. Thank you again to the three of you for making my Friday morning just so much fun. Hey, all of you that are watching, listening live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here. You are all awesome. And all of you that watch or listen to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Speaking of family, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making
In.
sure that we have people for shows. And Tioso Host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Speaking of support, if you are not watching the Daily News Show, listening to the Daily News Show, please go check that out. Kyle does an amazing job of giving you, in a 5-minute capsule, the tech news that you need for the day, and it's waiting for you when you get up in the morning. It does take a little bit more to make that show happen. So we have a whole thing set up so you can send in money for that. Go to the BTN website, click the button to send in money. And when you do that, you also get some extra content as a thank you. So please go check that out. All right, with that, I do believe it is now time to say thank you again to everyone. And don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. I can't wait to see who hosts because I won't be here. It's the 4th of July Independence Day holiday in the United States.
True. It
might just
Joy,
be Patrice.
yeah, it might be the Patrice show. Yeah. And then on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.